This meeting is now being recorded.
There are ways and ways to express things. You cannot, all I do this, you must do this. Cannot be otherwise. Why don't you come on? This and that. You can say, all right, dear friend, we have to cope with this work, and we all of us have to do. Let us cooperate. There's no other body to do it. We all have the same cause before us. The same very sweet words will just bring your element with you to help you, cooperate with you. So sweet words don't cost anything. Also, just telling bad names on the back of it, you see. You say something, such man is like a dot and that, such man is doing this thing. These things also affect the heart. With these things, how can you go on correctly with your meditation? You cannot. Guard your tongues. You see? Use sweet words. One angry word, you see, can create a war in each household, I say. You put in some sweet words, there's consolation, there's peace, there's harmony, there's compassion. And indeed, if you just strike somebody, it is still worse. So you have to guard, you see, the failures under non-violence. Today you have done how much under these having failures. What you have done today, guard against that tomorrow. And weed out from day to day. Second thing will come truth. Always adhere to truth. The falsehood, acting, posing, you see, hypocrisy, stealing others' rights when they're knowingly above board or under board, these have to be avoided. Chaste life. Not to have lusty thought even in thought. If you think of something from head to down to the bottom, you feel that way. Your body is poisoned, you see. Sometimes people say, well, we don't do anything, simply enjoy by saying certain things. When you utter such like things, even that poison goes into the body, is it not? But actual commission, you have to just come up to the standard as prescribed by your sacraments. Marriage is a sacrament. Not a life, a sensuous life. To lead sensuous life, not the ideal of a married man, my dad. One duty is there too, for procreation, for children. It's only to be used for the purpose of creation, procreation. This is word, deed and thought. Similar word is imminent in every form, resides in all hearts. You must have love for all. Hate it for none. Sometimes we think we are speeder. We are in positions to drag other sides. You see, a higher officer considers these are my smart. All right, sit down. Why do you do this and that? Even as president considers in a society, my order must be obeyed. Secretary says, oh, why? I am the kingdom. I must have this and that. Each man in his own position, you see, asserts. And the result is aversion, hatred. You have no love for others. You see? If you have love for others, your position won't mind. You treat others with equal love. I tell you my position in life, you see, in my official career. I thought all were equal. Some is sitting in the chair. In the officers, on the officer's table, the other is just like PM, like he's working over the table. difference in there. God is equally enthralled with the same things as you are enthralled. Simply the position in life comes according to reaction of the past karma, unfortunate friends working over there. If you treat them, you see, just as equals, they are after all friends. If you use kind words that affect them more than even by giving your orders, they will do away at times, but at heart of hearts, you cannot, you see, affect their hearts. I think the other day I mentioned one case, a appeal came to my, I was in administration charge, you see, on coordination work. That's a very hard job, you know. I had 35 officers to work with me, and I had to just give orders to be carried out one by all, you see. So one PN came to me today. I was to retire from service day after tomorrow. He was 2 days with me. Third day, as I was to be off the duty, but don't order all men can leave up work and just see him off, you see. That PN, I saw that PN, he was in tears, crying like that. I told him, my dear friend, that this might have seen something of me. What have you seen of me in 2 days? He says, I know you are considered we are men. You treat us like men. Equality, you see, is the law of nature. If you just start from equal, you'll be respected. Any command given by you, any order given by you will be done with the heart and soul. When I was in office, I had about 700 establishments under me working, you see, with 35 officers. I had to do the administration coordination. The outer of all the offices was splendidly good. All your notes coming from government for one reason or the other, so many proposals, and government offices go on, you see. When I left office, 3 officers replaced in my job. You see. 3 officers to carry out the job I was doing single-handed. And of course, with cooperation of everybody, you see. I used to mark anything to somebody, whether that work belonged to him or not, he used to go to the other section, do it and submit himself. And say, well, all right, this has to be done. I will leave the office and they will do even sitting after midnight. They will complete it, yes. That was so much cooperation I had, you see. Even from the Mohammedans over there, there were 2 things. One, the bad days, those days, Muslim days, just before this Pakistan affair took place. But they would not refuse, you see. When they came away, I only pending retirement, I went to the secretary after that daily. There was one finance minister, I mean, and financial advisor over there. He was my friend. I went to see him. At the very moment I appeared to him, he said, well, look, young, what has happened to the office? He never knew that I was on leave for the last 3 months. What has happened to office? Why? All your notes, unofficial sent in that, not one of them has returned so far in the last 3 months. Before, they used to come back in a week or so with the best proposals over there, suggestions over there. The outcome has gone down to 1/4 that compared with 3 months before. What has it become around your office? I told you when I am away, I don't know, I am pending retirement. So that was due to the cooperation, you see, to the sweet temperament and the loving treatment with the establishment, you see. They told me, look here, when you go away, do you think I will give them work, does not work for them? And they did so. So sweet words don't cost anything, even if you are in superiority. Established, say, by some reason or the other, you are in a high position, you got under your establishment. Well, love them, they are men after all, you see. Treat them as men. They are failures. I used to do what, you see? in my office, sections declare certain class quite unfit for work. They should be discharged because I was an administration. I used to receive them in my, keep them in my own section for 2 or 3 months. First I would see what they do. 2, 3, 4 days per week I'd watch them, what they were doing. So they were simply sneaking away not to do the work habit there. Then someday I would just ask them, well, look at their friend in the evening, all alone. Look at their friend, are you going to be paid for the job you're working here? Yes. Well, if you don't work hard for people like you here, yeah, you can take no mercy on yourself. Why not take mercy on the children you have got? I appeal to his sense. So he was a bit changing. In 2 or 3 months he was up to the mark. Again, when those people wanted some class to help them, I posted them there. They said, oh, we won't have this class. And I would tell them, well, he is now a changed class. He is. You see? So by kind words, sweet words, don't cost anything. You can have full cooperation by all men whom you treat as sweetly as possible. They are after all equal men. Suppose you are interested in charge of something, a tit man. So he wants, if cooperation, he should work equally. No doubt, I am giving you some responsibility to carry on some work. You see, that does not give you any control, physical control of the bodies. Other, you are equal workers. You have been selected. You are fortunate. Let others also think you are fortunate. For the sake of administration to carry on work in a very effective way, we have to give some duty to somebody. The duty of the others lie in just doing in the as best a way as possible what he thinks best, what he has given others. But at times, sometimes we may have got difference of feeling. You see? In that case, we are not to, what you say, crow over others. You see? No, I would not do this, I would not do that. You simply think of calmly over the matter, what is what. Suppose one man is there, he has to do certain job. You see? And he does not receive cooperation from others, naturally he would be a little upset. He would say, oh, I'll disrespect him, these people don't care. All right, you come on. But there are ways and ways even to express those things, I say, you see. Because it is a common cause between us, you see. This is our household affair. If we are fighting one against the other, that is a bad example to others. For both. They see you fighting over there, you see. That will be a bad example for them. They do not know what is the cause. You may be right, you may be wrong. But the best way out, just like for both, the man who is in charge of the show, he has to see that something is done. Suppose one of you do not agree to that out of the, say, 10, 12, 50 men. So one or two or 10 men do not agree, that does not mean that they should be raw. They should give in to the majority, opinion of the majority. And if they should not assert Rocky Kapro in absence or in front, that I do not agree, we must submit. I quoted you one instance of the late Prime Minister, I mean, of England when he came to America. He said, all right, my government has done correctly. So my point is like that, not to support anything wrong, no doubt, but still if there is any difference of opinion, we should not assert and stand up, go against, talk in the absence, you see. That gives harm to the cause of the work which you are, which is before you. The man ordering, who is in charge, he should also be sweet and loving in his expressions. And those others who do not agree with this something, and there is, I think I tell you, you can refer to me where you are not at one, you see. You cannot come to any conclusion, there's no question of aggravating each other's feelings, but simply to refer that is to be, no sir, to continue as sweet as ever. Such like thing too happen. You see, in opposite every phase of life, I've seen. But this is best way to meet with is that way. I'm just now suggesting. You see, you simply give in. All right, this is a matter I think we are not all agree. Therefore, that case to such and such. I think here there has been one big cause of this chartering business. I tell you. Somewhere in far this, the others were against it. Both of them were sincere in their efforts. I don't reflect on them. Each man wanted something to be done so that that may be helping in the long run to our work. Both were sincere, but their difference of opinion. Some sided with one man, the other sided with the other. There was a corral. Though not openly yet, at times also openly, and at times going on rumbling under the ground.
What is the best thing?
I just told you. Here, have the patience here. So, that case was referred to me. I asked for opinion of everybody who were concerned as representatives. I had all together. I thought of it. Well, I told them, all right, when I come, this will be decided. Here, we had a talk, I think everybody was satisfied. The same purpose was served by both of them. Those who were for it, their purpose was also served. And those who were not for it, their aim was also served. That is to have branches over here. That's the way we had over there in India. So my point, there are ways and ways. There may be difference of opinion. For that difference of opinion, we should not agree with each other's feeling. If we are fighting like anything within ourselves, what is this? This is a bad example for others. You may say you got some of the highest things before you, and the other people will see otherwise. You are behaving other way. I am speaking each one of you mind that. I don't mean any one man or the representative or the others. For all of you, individually. If one man has, for instance, we cannot wipe out hatred by hatred, my man. We have to wipe out hatred by love. If one man has heard, all right, the other should not have. That can be softened up. In a co-frame, one common cause, what there you are, say, 50, 100 people over here. It is not an admission of thousands of people, human, for one common cause. Disinterest is got, I would say, we have not got any personal interest in it, except one common cause for which each one of us has to work. You see, with whole devotion now. We should look to the name of the cause you are taking. Inspired the name, which you cannot retrieve in, excuse me, in years, but you inspired in moments. Just follow the true import of the spirit I'm talking, you see. I'm not blaming anybody, but I'm also not supporting anybody who fails in that respect. I love for all of you. The slight difference may be here and there, and for that reason we should not agree with our feelings. We have to cooperate for one cause. For instance, I am coming here. Do you see, I will tell you today, what was the main cause I did not turn up last year? Underlying, I had something before me. Just to place. Before me, as I am not coming this year, I was after the ground should be more prepared. The ground was not prepared at the time, as it is a bit better now, but still with some grumbling at it underneath. So I wish to wash out that. I explained in detail to Jonah and Khanna, you see, I have respect for them and you should also have respect for them. Because in charge, you are placed in their place, naturally you will have to watch the smooth going of the whole thing. This is duty, sort of duty. If you don't receive any cooperation from anybody, naturally you see the things are going wrong, you may be at times upset. Though as a rule, should not be upset, but with all that imperfections are there in each and everybody is not perfect, still may have here or there. For one common cause, for the helping that thing to go smoothly, for that it may be, if you do receive equal cooperation without any, there's no need for any houses, no strong words in me. Suppose if anybody else is put in that job, if they don't receive full cooperation, then the difficulty is not. That the same difficulty will confront you also, as they are in. So my words, you see, my sweet words, full of humility, devotion and love, for one common cause, there is no superiority. Of course, superiority in that respect because they are given certain job to do, to watch it, it goes on smoothly and effectively. For that thing, if at all anything is suggested, let us do, submit for the movement, and if we do not agree, in that case we might submit. In that respect we do, but we should not fight. No harsh words to be exchanged. Submit and the matter can be referred to. In the meantime, there should be no aggravation. This much, I still feel there was something like that. I hope this will wipe out, you see, wash away. What is past, that cannot be unmended now for the future. If you go by like that, I think everything will be sorted all right. This is one respect of the position I am telling, you see. Love for all, because we had some little difficulty over here, and we had no time to talk between ourselves. I had this opportunity to talk to you. I'm giving in detail, more explicitly on the subject, so there may be left no misunderstanding. What is past. We are brothers as ever. We should love for another. Always use sweet words, you see. We have to do something, or if brothers come and we have to do this, cooperate. Everybody will do. Any saintman will cooperate. This is one thing, sometimes we think we know too much on account of our, what you say, intellectual attainment. I am a man of degrees, he knows little. These things also sometimes become the cause of aggravation. Similarly, look at a man reading the primary. Just like one man is reading in college. If a college man, student, expects a man reading the primary to talk up to the level of which he has reached, and he ever expected, he should have pity, love for the man. He was sometimes like that. And that when he is given full, proper help and guidance, he can also come up to that. Even if you are speeding in your intellectual attainment, even then you love others without their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. College. If a college man, student, expects a man reading the primary to talk up to the level of which he has reached, and he ever expected, he should have pity, love for the man. He was sometimes like that. And that when he is given full, proper help and guidance, he can also come up to that. So even if you are speeding in your intellectual attainment, even then you love others without their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are very much wealth. You are a very rich man. Sometimes like that. And that when he is given full proper help and guidance, he can also come up to that. So even if you are speeded in your intellectual attainment, even then you love others with all their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are a very rich man. He should have pity, love for the man. He was sometimes like that. And that when he is given full proper help and guidance, he can also come up to that. So even if you are speeded in your intellectual attainment, even then you love others with all their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are a very rich man. He was sometimes like that. And that when he is given full proper help and guidance, he can also come up to that. So even if you are speeded in your intellectual attainment, even then you love others with all their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are very to talk up to the level of which he has reached. Had he ever expected, he should have pity, love for the man. But he can also come up to that. All their faults, shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are a very rich man. That is poor. Even then you love us. It is enough. Shortcomings. And ultimately, on account of wealth, you may be in possession of much wealth. You are a very rich man.
Well, I'm sorry about that. The recording is not playing properly this morning, but that was the, I'm going to say good morning, first of all, and welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the last half of a talk recorded on June 10th, 1955 in Washington, D.C. Our reader this morning is Kurt Hilger. Are you there, Kurt?
I am, David.
Oh, good. Thank you. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
All right. This is a continuation of a talk called Never Dance to the World's Tune, and it's from the December 1971 issue of Satsandesh magazine. The same light of God is in all creatures, animals, birds, fish, etc. So one should love God and love also all creation, for he is in all. This constitutes a true way of celebrating Diwali. You may do it today, or tomorrow, or next year, in 10 years' time, or later on in life, or you can take millions of births to do it. But this very work will have to be done sooner or later. The learned and illiterate alike must be able to control the attention. If the attention is not feeding the senses remain out of action. This has been proved in an ordinary way by a person keeping his attention fully concentrated upon a certain thing or task. He will not be aware of anyone speaking to him or calling him. In truth, everything is within you, and you are the light. He is the greater light, and you the smaller. After you have been cleaned free from all dirt, you will see the light and ultimately be absorbed into the greater light. For this is the law of nature, that everything is drawn to its own kind. In this way you will become one in him. If on Diwali day you enkindle the light within you, then I congratulate you. Otherwise, your house is in darkness. As Kabir Sahib says, In the silent palace of the void, light the lamp. When you close your eyes, there's darkness. But when the light is seen, then the inner journey starts. First, to rise above the physical into the astral plane, where the light will become stronger. In the causal plane, it will be yet stronger, and from then onward, the light is so strong as to be incomparable with millions of suns and moons. A certain pandit, a Vedic scholar, came here recently and read to me a section from the Yajurveda, which mentioned these very things I am now telling you about. Brothers, there is light within you, and there is also sound within. In the Gurbani we have, there is light within, and the everlasting music reverberating therefrom. The Chandogya Upanishad gives the same information. It is a real thing, and if you have received this gift in any religion, know that you have received the means to salvation. The Muslim fakirs also say that within man the Kalami Kadim is vibrating, but we are imprisoned in the body and, alas, do not hear it. Shams Tabriz Saab says, every minute one voice is coming to my soul from the Lord's direction. What kind of voice is this? It is said to be like an ordinary voice, but alas, we cannot hear it. There is an inner eye which, if open, can see the light of God. Lord Krishna has said, you cannot see me with these eyes of flesh and blood, but only through that divine eye with which I have blessed you. Guru Nanak Sahib similarly says, O Nanak, that eye is different through which the Lord is seen. Everyone has got this eye. It is called the third eye, the single eye, the Shiv Netra. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And where is this eye? Fix your attention above the outgoing faculties, where even Mahesh is meditating. Even Lord Shiva, Mahesh, is meditating upon that same invisible place, and that is why we sometimes call it the Shiv Netra, Shiva's eye. Excuse me, but performing customs and rites and distributing prasad is not a true way of celebrating a Diwali festival. Our condition is, in this respect, can be likened to the story of the camel, which thrust its nose into its master's tent on a cold night. It gradually edged farther until its head and neck were inside, and then farther until half its body was in the tent. Finally, through steadily inching its way, the camel took over the tent, and its master had to go outside in the cold. Likewise, these customs and rituals of ours will throw out the truth completely if we are not careful enough to find the right understanding. Right understanding is a noble factor. It prepares the ground for the truth itself. Perform all rites, customs, and prayers with right understanding, and they will all be acceptable at the Lord's feet. Even if you do it as a gymnastic exercise, yet at least there is hope for you in the future. We cry every day that communism is increasing. But what is the condition of our own homes? We rise in the morning, drink tea, do this and that, read the newspaper, and then we have to eat something. Someone goes to the office, someone else to the shop, etc. Is there a routine whereby all members of the family sit in the remembrance of the Lord every morning for even 1 hour or half an hour? There is nothing like this. In Punjabi, there is a saying that if the child is spoiled while in his diapers, he will never right himself. Well, people are crying about the communists outside, but communists are being created in our own homes. Our children have no knowledge of even the most basic teachings of spirituality. Many of the parents do not know them. We worry about possessing things and being happy. We are concerned that our children should be educated. These things are all right, but we are ignoring the most useful part of their upbringing. I told the people in the West also that every home should have a church, a temple, a gurdwara, or mosque. Call it what you will. Then morning and evening, the whole family, big and small, should sit down in remembrance of God. The children's lives will change, and yours also. Example is always better than precept, and seeing you doing what is right, the children will copy you. We are, in fact, responsible for the coming generation's character, and if we will not change, how can we expect that character to be decent and upright? Stop for a while, wherever you are, and review your own situation. Search for the true meanings hidden behind all things, and make sure you have got the right understanding. Up to now, most of our life has been lived in a very artificial manner, and if we have gained nothing real thereby, then what is the use? Fareed Saab has warned us that the whole world is sounding, and you are also dancing with it. Do not go on blindly following what others do without knowing the reason. What can be achieved from such actions? I am not trying to belittle anything, but rather I'm trying to help you understand from the right perspective. Seeing him, all our durmat, our misconception, is finished. He is our true friend. This is the true way to banish all wrong thinking and establish right understanding. The company of such a true friend is called satsang. By searching the whole world, you will find these true friends, which are very rare. So be wise. Take in the truth and throw out untruth. It is written in the Upanishads, lead me from the unreal to the real, from darkness to light. It is no new teaching, and whatever company you keep, you will take on the same color. There are many formations in the world, but making formations is not the master's purpose or mission. They were made after the advent of each master, without whom, as a matter of course, stagnation set in, from which bad smells arose. The result of all this was misery upon misery. There is no exaggeration in a master's words. He will tell you exactly what is what. From this lowly level, we cannot see the absolute God, but that same God came into expression in creation and is permeating throughout in the form of light, in which the Akan Kirtan, the perpetual song, or Nad or Udgit, is vibrating. All philosophy deals merely with theories, but mysticism deals with direct contact with reality, the God into expression power. But that can only be contacted when one rises above the senses, which can be done only in the human form. Where does our attention finally reach? To that place from where the sound is coming, the ultimate source. Some people practice the path of light only, but on that path the soul finds itself surrounded and cannot discover the way out. Here, the path of the sound is most necessary. The various holy scriptures have been explained in detail countless times, but no one can explain the sound. It is beyond description or explanation. Anything which is above the intellect cannot be explained. It can be contacted only. furthermore, it will be one thing. It has eternally been one and cannot be made into two or more. That is why those realized souls who are in direct contact with the sound all speak of it similarly. So on this Diwali day, I would like to impress upon you particularly to give up thinking ill of others. While you do not make the enemy your friend, you will have no peace within. Your sleep state will be full of restless dreams. If anyone thinks or speaks of you in an aggressive way, do not follow his example. Otherwise, his very thoughts will react upon you. If a wave of water hits a hard surface, it will bounce back. But if it strikes something resilient, it will be absorbed, like the action of a sponge, and there will be no violent reaction. One curse is given, but on its return becomes many. If it is not returned, then it was one and remained one. Again, we remember Farid Saab saying, "The whole world is sounding, and you are also dancing with it." It is better with a cool head to try and read between the lines to discover why the person is acting so antagonistically, and then take action accordingly. You will save yourself from degradation this way. To think or speak of a person badly, to tell lies or cheat, to be hypocritical, indulging in backbiting, and other ill-becoming traits, these are all degrading to the soul. Keep your hearts pure, and as God is in every one, try to see only the best in all. Whatever duties have been given to you by God, perform them with love. And if others are shirking their duties, appeal to them with love and pray for their better understanding. Then leave them to the Lord. If we always remember that the God we worship is in all men, we would not even allow a single brother to go hungry. There was once a devotee who worshiped the Lord very faithfully. And one day he prayed, "O God, please give me your darshan." God replied to him, "All right, I will come to you." The devotee started preparing for the Lord's arrival with great enthusiasm, cleaning his house spotlessly, making a specially comfortable seat decorated with flowers for him to rest on, and preparing many different delicious delicacies for the Lord's refreshment. When all was ready, he sat at the door, awaiting God's arrival. From morning until night, he did not leave the door, but the Lord did not come. An old man in a very ragged clothes passed by, and in passing called out, "Brother, I am very hungry. Could you give me just one piece of bread?" The devotee was so engrossed and expectantly awaiting the Lord's arrival that he totally ignored the old man, who went away hungry. In the depths of night, the devotee spoke to the Lord in meditation, asking him why he had not come as promised. God said, "Why? I came to you, and I asked you for food, but you gave me nothing." So we never know in what form God will visit us. Whatever our attitude in approaching the Lord, so will be our reward. Whatever the desire, that will be fulfilled. If you think of this as a place of truth, satsang, then leave all worldly thoughts when entering. This more elevated attitude of mind will enable you to absorb the radiation therein, from which you will be greatly uplifted. When you fully understand what it is you are receiving, and also make it part of your everyday life, most decidedly you will have salvation. However, if you see the Satguru as the world sees him, there is no salvation in this. If you do not love the Satguru's Shabd, there are various attitudes of regard toward the Satguru, and accordingly does each man receive. If he is met with faith and respect in the heart, receptivity develops and the radiation is absorbed. I have led a householder's life. You also should live in the world, but there is no need to add to its degradation and to your own. Women in the home should maintain it properly with cleanliness and tidy habits. Look after the children with interest and serve their husbands wholeheartedly. There is also a Dharma, a principle of righteous living. To him whose home is heaven, the whole world is heaven. How can anyone hope to realize the Lord if they declare they serve him and ignore the needs of others? Does it mean that we dislike God in some forms? Those personalities who are truth personified never advise the seekers to leave their hearths and homes to take up vigil in the jungles and lonely places. That is not at all necessary. When you meet a complete Satguru, competent is his method. Laughing, playing, eating, wearing, you will gain salvation by following him. It is not a matter of leaving the condition wherein God has placed you. There is no need to change your location, but simply change your angle of vision. Bow down to the Satguru's words, not his body only, or you will remain very far away from him and from your aim. There is a very explanatory example of obedience during the life of Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs. There was a Jat farmer by the name of Bela who came to Guru Gobind Singh and said, "I wish to serve you." The Guru asked him what he could do, and Bela replied that he knew how to look after horses. The use of horses was extensive and common in those days, and so the Guru gave Bela the service. He worked diligently and with love, and even the Guru saw the difference in the horse's condition, and he asked, "Who is taking care of the horses these days?" He was told that Bela was the groom, and the Guru sent for him, congratulated him, and told him how pleased he was with his service. In further token of his pleasure, the Guru said, "Come to me daily, and I will give you one stanza from the Japji Sab to learn and digest." So each morning, Bela would go to the master and receive his lesson, and then spend the whole day repeating the words with full concentration on his master while doing his work in the stables. One day, Guru Gobind Singh decided to leave early on some urgent work and was about to gallop away when Bela ran up to the Guru and cried, "But what about my lesson?" The Guru replied, "O brother Bela, do you not see the time or opportunity?" And he galloped off. Brother Bela accepted what the Guru had said without question in his heart, and in all sincerity started learning the words with full attention. "O brother Bela, do you not see the time or opportunity?" Guru Gobind Singh's attention had been so fierce when uttering these words that the full force of it went deep into them. The result was that on repeating them, Bela began to go into samadhi. He began to leave the body. One of the senior disciples, who had long been chief reader of the Guru Granth Sahib and was the Guru's constant companion, even in the fighting during the war, was a very learned man and would not only read but explain the words and their meaning. On hearing that Bela had gone into Samadhi, he went to the master and said, Maharaj, there is injustice in your court. For this Jat, Bela, who arrived here only a few days ago and who is an illiterate and understands nothing, has gone into deep Samadhi, whereas we, who are with you constantly, even in the wars, have sacrificed our lives and lived under terrible conditions and have studied the books for countless hours, and yet we cannot meditate as successfully as this man. Do you understand what this is, what this all means? It is a question of the person's attitude of mind. If you do not absorb the teachings practically into your very lives, you will gain nothing. It is not achieved by dancing and jumping around. Some people go as far as to say, the master came from Satlok and gave me fruit as prasad. This type of people is only interested in impressing others, but this is how we can drift away from the truth. See what is right with your own eyes, and do not be led astray by the prattlings of others. This is what Farid Saab means when he talks of the world dancing to its own tune. He says further, he does not dance who takes the Lord's protection. When you get something, be content with what you have received and practice it properly so that it may increase. If you can find anything better than what you have been given, then I will also go with you. Our Hazur used to say, whatever I had, I have given you. If you find anything better, you are welcome to take it and let me know that I may also benefit. So truly celebrating Diwali does not lie in getting prasad or any outer action, but rather in taking the truth of Diwali into yourself and practicing it. You will see that your life will change in a matter of months. If up to now you have not done this and are not going to do it, you will remain in darkness. If you have done something and have received a little light, but do not devote your full attention and do not practice it daily in all expressions of life, you will not increase whatever you have. I will now take a short hymn of Guru Ram Das Ji on the subject of Diwali, how to light the lamps of Diwali within you. To realize God, we have sold our body to a complete master. The words are very clear, but why a complete master? Because today the world is full of people who are not what they profess to be. Who, in fact, is the Guru? The God himself is the Guru. When Guru Nanak Sahib was asked about this, he said, Shabd is the Guru, and the Surat, attention, is the disciple. In other words, that God power which came into expression is my Guru. Kabir Sahib was asked where his Guru lived, and he replied, my Guru resides in the Gagan, the seat of the soul, and the disciple in this body. When the Surat and Shabd meet, there will be no separation. To come into contact with that, our attention must rise above the senses. Guru Gobind Singh has said, the ultimate God is one. Know him to be our Guru. The Lord residing in each being is the Guru. My beloved is in each form. No place is without him. I rejoice in that form where he is manifest. We should respect the form in which he has manifested. Such a personality never declares himself to be the Guru, but always refers to the God in him. It is a very valuable criterion. Whoever says, I am a Guru, know him to be yet short of that very status. O Bhikkha, The incomprehensible, agam, is beyond speaking of or hearing about. He who knows speaks not. He who speaks knows not. Kabir Sahib describes the Master in this way. Kabir says, "We are the knowers of the true home of your Father and have brought the Lord's orders." It is a beautiful description. He did not say, "I am the Guru." Who is the complete Guru? Through the complete Guru, satsang occurs. And what is the complete Guru? He is one with the Shabd. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Also, he manifests himself in the Guru and distributes the Shabd. It is that manifested God which joins us to himself. That is the Guru. No son of man can do it. Christ said, "I am the light of the world. Those that come to me shall never walk in darkness." It is another criterion. Whoever has got the light can give it to others. It cannot be given by teachers of the outer customs, or by intellectuals, or by any scripturist. But he who is one with the light can give the light. He who takes the veil from my eye and gives the glimpse, O Sadhu, that Sadguru is to my liking. When it says we have sold the body, it means that he has given himself over completely and has no further claim on himself. And he did this just to realize God. Someone should make me meet my beloved Lord. To him I will sell myself. I am in torment for darshan of my Lord. He does not make you a slave, but rejoins you to the Lord himself. Another master says the same thing. Someone should come and join me back to God. And how is that done? A strong guru drags the attention out. He is full controller of his attention and has become therefore the mouthpiece of God. By his single thought, 10, 20, 100, 1,000 can be taken above the senses and shown the light within. There should be no misunderstanding of the term selling the body. Through the pralabdha or destiny karmas, God has joined one to a wife, husband, children, friends. So this body belongs to them, but the Lord wishes us to make the best use of it by being pure and chaste, doing meditation, living righteously, and keeping his commandments. This is the true meaning of giving the body. It does not mean leaving one's home, family, and so on. Why has the body been given to us? The feet of the Lord should reside in this body, and the tongue should repeat his nam, O Nanak. For this reason, take care of the body. Keep it clean and pure, for cleanliness is next to godliness. But there is no need to be constantly decorating it. Furthermore, cleaning outwardly and remaining dirty inside is useless. For no matter how much perfume is poured on a garbage heap, it will never impart a clean, refreshing fragrance. To become clean inside, he tells you that no sins should be committed through this body, and no bad thoughts should enter it. This is what it means to sell one's body to him. Hazrat Ibrahim once bought a slave. It was the custom of those days. When he and the slave reached the house, Hazrat Ibrahim said, "What would you like to eat?" The slave replied, "Whatever food you give, for I have been sold to you." The next day, Ibrahim asked the slave what kind of clothes he wanted to wear, and the slave replied, "Whatever you give, for I have been sold." He asked for nothing and claimed no choice, for he knew his body had been sold and surrendered himself to the fact, fully resigned. Complete obedience is the essence of selling the body to the Guru. It means nothing more nor less. Christ told his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Those who do respect the Guru's words will most decidedly receive salvation. Christ also said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Whatever words enter your heart, that much have you understood fully. The words the Guru uttered have I tied into my heart. But don't just keep them there. They are not meant for repeating to others as a demonstration of knowledge. They should be lived up to. And how can one reside in his heart? Keep someone in your heart, and you will reside in his. If you think of a person, there is always a reaction. When the disciple remembers his guru, then Satguru gives protection with remembrance through his very life. His attention is his very life's essence. Though he may be hundreds of miles away, yet he constantly cares for his children through his attention. The more you remember him, the greater will be the reaction. As you think, so you become. And if he is truly a guru, you will gain spiritual upliftment and salvation. When one can hear sound and voice through radio across thousands of miles and can see images through television, then surely the God power, which is all omnipotent, that same power which is the guru, surely that can manifest if one's needle is tuned in correctly. Just keep your thoughts toward him, and you will benefit from the direct radiation. And that concludes the reading for today. Again, that was Master's talk, "Never Dance to the World's Tune," from the December 1971 Satsandesh magazine. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Kurt, for reading for us. We had 77 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones. Hello?